Word of God, which is selected for our meditation this morning, is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter, beginning at verse 28. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scripture to us?" These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. We greeted Easter the Sunday after Maundy Thursday and Good Friday with rejoicing, with hallelujahs, and with shouted, "He is risen." But not so much was that the case for Jesus' followers. The holy celebration of the Passover had been a horrible mess. They had the Passover meal with Jesus, after which he gave them the meal of his New Testament. But then he was arrested, and the next day he was killed. Now, there were some rumors that the body had been stolen, and even some unbelievable ones about some resurrection. They had seen his dead body, and it was dead. The two who are conversing in our lesson, they are called the Emmaus disciples, had not seen the risen Christ. And so as they spoke with this stranger, they're speaking in a sort of a past tense. "We were hoping," a condition which had not been fulfilled. "We were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel," something in their view that had not been fulfilled. Their hope had been falsified. The stranger, as we know, of course, was in fact Jesus. Although, as Luke describes it, their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. Now, the important part about that scene is that Jesus dealt with these two disciples through the Word of God. Of course, Jesus could have immediately shown himself in a miraculous way to them as the one who had been crucified, who had been murdered, but was now alive. He could have, as he did a week later, had them thrust their fingers into his wounds and their hands into his side. He did that for Thomas. But for them, he did not. He wanted them to believe, but not because they saw him, but because they believed the word about him. This gospel, therefore, says, "And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." And then, as these disciples later said, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us and opened the scriptures for us?" And so we are taught that our risen Lord comes to us too, not by appeals to what we can feel with our hands, by what we can sense that we have experienced, to our reason, or to emotional sensations, not through brilliant visions, not through brilliant light shows. The one who calls himself the way, the truth, and the life brings us to know his resurrection and its meaning through his word and through faith. These two disciples, followers of Jesus, could only think of Jesus as a dead man, and so they couldn't recognize him as one who was alive, even as he stood before their very eyes. They were spiritually blind at that point, and so they represent all of us too, who are that by nature. But through the word of God, his own powerful and creative word, Jesus brings them to believe that he is the Messiah, the promised one, the one who died, the one who is now alive. It's by the word he proclaims to them that they recognize and believe that he is, in fact, that crucified and risen Lord Jesus. That Jesus brought these disciples to faith through the preaching of his word is no less a miracle of resurrection than when he stood before the tomb of his friend Lazarus and said, "Lazarus, come forth." The two disciples certainly confessed that great miracle when they reported, "Were not our hearts burning within us?" It was not that they were having an ecstatic experience, but it was rather that his word of truth enlightened them and gave life to their hearts. That was the working here of the Holy Spirit. And it is the working of the Holy Spirit for us as well. That's what St. Paul says when he writes, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." It is not in my power. It is not at all in my power to believe that Jesus really rose from the dead. I did not examine the evidence and say, "Well, it must be true, so I will believe it." My Lord himself has opened my eyes by his power, not by mine, and he has opened my heart, not by my own will. Jesus wants us to believe, but he does not want our faith to rest on the things which we have seen and experienced, on our flighty and fickle feelings, and on our often faulty sight. He does not want us to believe that we have come to believe in him as the risen Lord by the power of our own experience and by self-will. In order that our faith be truly faith and truly by grace alone, he wants us to believe through his powerful word, the word which is indeed the power of God unto salvation. That faith is the conviction that the Lord Christ did conquer sin and death and the power of Satan, as his word declares. God grant us such a simple and childlike faith as this, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. Grant, we beseech you, Almighty God, that we who celebrate the solemnities of the Lord's resurrection may by the renewal of your Holy Spirit rise again from the death of the soul and walk in newness of life. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.